Well, official, that's loud. Official, good morning, good morning. Welcome everybody to the service. I'm glad you could make it. There's thousands more coming in the door, I know. So, but time does not wait for anybody, right? So, let's open a word of prayer and see where the Lord's going to take us this morning. Things might be a tiny bit different this morning than usual, but hey, we can stretch, right? Yeah, we can stretch. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord God. And we're talking about stretching, and Father, I thank you for stretching us. Hallelujah, Lord. Help us to be stretchable according to your will, according to the Word of God. So, Father, we ask your blessing on every heart of this morning. Bless us, Lord God, as we enter into praise and worship and all that you have this morning for us. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen. Amen. For the Israel flag this morning. That was good. that one again. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the floodgates of God's mercy, float a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, pour descend. Like you, Lord. Oh, do you love? Your throne, let our praise.
You're going to clear off all chaos from this place. Because you're a mighty rushing wind. Blow upon us anew. Oh, mighty rushing wind. You're the promised one. And you're still here on the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, touching people anew. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you.
I hear a sound, and this sound is an army that is rising up. And this sound, you're going to take territory. But the territory you are going to take is not physical. He says, I am going to move an army in the spirit realm that is going to take territory. I hear the, even as Randy, you're playing the drums, I can hear the drum beat. And there's going to be a beat and a sound. And my people are going to march. And it's not going to be like marching in the natural. It's going to be a marching in the spirit realm. And you're going to continue to take territory upon territory upon territory. And you're going to see victory. But it's going to be a marching in the spirit.
Well, happy God-blessed special Sunday. It's Marilla's birthday today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to you, Marilla. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Amen. Amen. Right on. So welcome. We've got a visitor from way down south here with us this morning. Darlene's daughter, Marie, is here. And she's hanging around for a few days. So welcome, Marie. Good to have you here. And we've got our one-year-old honeymooners back from their holidays. So welcome back. Good to have you here. Good to have you. And our other visitors, God bless you. So next Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, right here, live and in person. The ladies are getting together again, and it was a real blessed time last month. We're doing it once a month, second Saturday of the month. So if you are not working, try and join us. It's really always good. Sorry that the online people can't maybe make it, but you can pray for us. That'd be good. So that's coming up, and that's exciting. Has anybody got something on your heart that you'd like to share?
A couple things. I just want to say, last week I was working, I'm doing a project outside my house there, and last week I thought, please, God, send me somebody to help, because it's heavy stuff. Never really done this kind of stuff. But anyways, Jesse came out and Ruby came out yesterday. The miracle was it was supposed to rain. And it didn't rain. In fact, I wasn't even sure if I wanted to work out there, but they decided they were coming, and I knew that it was my opportunity to get this help. And it didn't rain. It didn't rain till 7 o'clock at night. We were out there from, whatever, 10 in the morning till 7 at night or something like that. But anyways, it was really good. Thank you, guys. It poured? Well, praise God. Well, Ruby said as soon as she hit tap, and she said it stopped raining, and it didn't rain on us at all. Well, wow, yay, God. That's even better. Anyways, and another praise report, my grandson ended up in the hospital a couple times yesterday. And anyways, this is a report that just came in. And I want to say that the very first song that we sang, The Sun Comes Up, It's a New Day Dawning, was his favorite song when he was a little boy. So when I came in here and heard that, I was rejoicing on the inside. And I just want to encourage you that whatever seed that you sow into your grandkids, know it's there to stay. And I had opportunity after opportunity. I don't get it anymore right now, but I'll tell you, as a little boy, I got lots of opportunity to sow into his heart the seed of the Word of God. And anyways, it's there. But this is a report that just came in. It says, Landon is now home. He has inflammation in his urethra where it meets up with the kidney. Looks like he's past the kidney stone. He's still in quite a bit of pain. They have him in pain meds, and there may be another stone to pass, but he's resting now. A urologist will be in touch with us this week. But he says, thank you for all your prayers. He knows it works well. And I thought, thank you. And he's always been so, I can pray for Landon anytime, and he's so open to that, you know. So anyways, God's doing a good work, and I praise God this morning.
Praise the Lord. Awesome, awesome. Ruby, something to share? Praise God. Now, I've got a few things, but the day before, my daughter texted me, there's fire in Grand Prairie all around it, on the south side, the east side, and the wind started to pick up, and they have a cabin about an hour away, and as you know, Derek lost his dad, and then they lost their son, and he was just devastated that he was going to lose his cabin, that his dad has all memories and that there, and they use it all the time. So anyway, I got Mary, well, Keith and I prayed first for a hedge of protection, and when they drove to the cabin, they could only go so far at first because they were evacuating everybody, and well, he had a few things that he'd taken there of his dad's that he really, really wanted, so they let him go in and get them. And then today I phoned and I said, well, Mary and I prayed again last night for the winds to change. And she said, yeah, and they did. They did. They shifted the other way. And so they were close. And God is good. He shifted the winds. And another friend of hers who's pregnant, and her house, they got evacuated on the other side of the city. And she showed some video of the trees just on the edge of the driveway burning. So we haven't quite heard if their place got burned down or not. But, yeah, just keep lifting them in prayer because, yeah, pretty traumatic. But thank you. And then, of course, lots of other stuff's been going on in our lives. And God has been slowly providing for us, which is awesome. I'm going to get some new steps. And I thank God for that. I thank God the way he's bringing that together. So I just give him all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, Margaret.
I just couldn't stop telling you about when you talked about the rain. Two things. When my kids were little, like going to church camp age, they were going for a weekend to a town, I don't know, 150 miles away, whatever. And it was pouring. They got into the school buses, and it was pouring. It was a horrible. And I, when they got home, I went, "You must have just had a horrible time, because you know they were trying to be on the beach and play games outside and that kind of thing." And they went, "No, it never rained at all." And I said, "Well, what about on the trip there?" "No, the sun followed the bus, Mom." And I went, "You know what? Someone was praying for that, and we have authority over that." And ever since then, I've always commanded the weather. I'll tell you. Yesterday, in particular, I was getting my motorcycle, a new tire on the back of it in Vernon, and it was pouring rain. So Archie said, "Well, that tire's in such bad shape. I'll take it there, and you can ride it back." So I'm driving the truck, and he's driving my bike. He's soaked, just absolutely soaked. And all the way I'm going, "All right, clouds, you move over. I don't care when you come back. You can come back after I've left. But this whole trip, and this is not praying for, this is commanding, taking your authority." And I have done it over and over. So I did it yesterday. "And you will not be on this road when I'm on this road, when I'm on the bike." And guess what? No rain all the way home.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Darlene?
Well, a lot of you know that since the time I went to Israel in 2010 and had the greatest encounter with the Lord I've ever had in my life, that God put Israel in my heart forever. And so Mike Bickle from International House of Prayer, they decided that they were going to pray for Israel and put on a 21-day fast and prayer time. And then suddenly other leaders and churches came alongside and said, "Can you put that call out to more people?" So they ended up calling 100,000 people to come and intercede for Israel for 21 days. And then it got bigger and bigger. They didn't expect this, but they got 5 million people signed up to pray this fasting and prayer time for Israel. So I just feel so incredibly blessed to be one of that 5 million to pray for Israel. My other praise report is one that I put in this prayer box here, and that was for my granddaughter, True. She's going for her degree in teaching. And she had this practicum where they placed her in the toughest school in Kamloops, grade 6, almost all boys. 20 of them were severe special ed, serious behavioral issues. So that was a pretty big load. Anyways, she completed it and did really well on it. God gave her such creativity to give her hands-on ideas. And the report that came back was that she had connected so well with the students. And she said, "That's only God that did that to help her." So thanks for the prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That prayer for Israel is starting today and going to the 28th. Yep. But anyway, anybody wants to jump on? If you're part of the firewall, you're already signed up, whether you know it or not. So, praise the Lord. Who's doing the offering?
Thank you. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Look at your neighbor and tell them they're amazing. Because they're made in the image of God. You're amazing because you're created in the image of God. So, turn with me to your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11. And so, I'll share a little testimony. On Wednesday, I won't tell you how it happened and why it all happened, but you just do something, right? I won't get into all the details, take too long. Anyways, I ended up pulling the calf in my leg or something to the point where I could not walk. I had to go home in the afternoon. I could not walk. And you know, so if you Google it, you'll be home for 2 or 3 weeks. So don't Google when you have symptoms. Just go to the Word, and you know, Jesus says to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. You see, we walk with the power of God on the inside of us. So I just said, pain, you can no longer stay here, and you have to go. And spoke to the muscles, and my wife, of course, she has, you know, laser things and deep blue, and so I did that. And you know what? Praise God. The next morning, I got up, and I was still a little bit, but I just continued to walk it out. And it's not 2 weeks later. It's a few days later. So you know what? Praise God for the power and what He did and gave us faith to move in what He said we could walk in. So don't Google your symptoms. Bad idea. So, anyways, and I'll be quick here because of the... I don't know. I'm trying to be more obedient to God. When He tells me to something in the middle of the night or at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock in the morning, it's like, okay, I'm going to get up. The Holy Spirit says, you know, go read Hebrews chapter 11. I said, God, can it wait till tomorrow? No, you go and read Hebrews chapter 11 and you go do, you know, anyways. He's not quite that pushy, but because He's gentle, it says. But anyway, so just being obedient to go and read what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And if you read into it, it's not about what we did wrong. It's about what He did right. And God was saying that to me. Focus on what I did right. And so, and then I was, it's interesting. You know, I was walking and you know, God said, you can't make a future out of history. Well, you might say, well, the Bible is a history book and it made a future. No, it's a prophetic book. But your past history won't make your future. But your future will make history. Like you said, Mary. Everything that we do in our future will make history with somebody. It has an impact. And so, and that's what I want to talk this morning, just quickly, in Hebrews 11, 1, very familiar portion of Scripture. It says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to our senses. God is not moved by what is happening in this world. He's not upset. He's not crying. He knows everything that is going on, and He says, what do you see? Are you looking at what's wrong, or are you looking at what I did right so they can see what I did? And that comes by faith. And so, and that's the same in the financial world. That's everything in our life. So today, financial provision, as I spoke of last week, there's wealth. Wealth is not a substance. It's a power. Faith, Jesus said, I give you my faith. So we have His faith. We don't have to try to do anything with it other than it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I want to encourage you in faith this morning. In this hour, God's provision is in faith. Not in anything else, just that. Father, I thank you this morning that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And that faith allows us to see into the realm ahead in the future what is hoped for. So God, thank you this morning that you gave us faith to see into the future. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Isn't that exciting? I don't know, that excites me. So, you can write a check. You can bring cash. We don't take crypto yet, but we do take e-transfers. You know. Praise God.
I want to call up a few people, like the elders. I want to call the elders up. And maybe I should call the prayer team up too, okay? I'm going to call them up and stand right over here or something. Okay? All right, Darlene, could you go to the keyboard? Okay. This is our prayer team and our elders. You're one of them, right, Agatha? Okay. Hallelujah. Now we're going to call up a couple of special people, very special people this morning. They're awesome people. So, Darren, Kimberly, you want to come up? We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to love on you. We're going to pray for you. And you're going to be loved like never before. So you just stand right here. Okay, good. I was going to have you seated, but maybe the only one that needs to be seated is me. No, I'm not going to be seated. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. You know, when I was meditating, and, well, what about Darren here? Maybe face this way a little bit, you guys. Yeah. What about these guys here? They're an awesome couple, I know. They're a couple that are full of faith, and we are so blessed that they are in our midst. You know, the Bible talks us about your gift will make room for you, right? And so their gifts are making room. Now, I don't know what all gifts you have there, Kimberly, but they're not even coming to the surface yet. So we're just waiting. We're expecting, right? That's right, because you're so awesome. You know, and I was thinking about Darren, about you, Lord. I said, well, what about Darren? He says, Darren is a salesman. Oh, he's a salesman. I said, yeah, he's a good salesman. The reason why he's such a good salesman is because he is advertising such a good product. Right? You see, a salesman's got to know his product, right? Or he can't declare it. He can't expound on it and brag on it. So, Darren, you know your product. And we know already, we've had a little bit of taste of your preaching and your teaching. So we thank you for that. But we thought, you know, we're just going to lay hands on you this morning. Not you could say welcome you, but you know, you haven't been here that long. I don't know, when did you come here? Last year? Yeah. They've been here about a year. But they've been very effective. And I know they love the Lord. And so we just want to see what God's going to do even this morning as we lay hands on them and pray for them. So, Father, I thank you for this couple. I thank you, Lord, that you brought them into our midst, Father. And we recognize them, Lord God, and we appreciate them, Lord God. And we're going to keep our hearts open, Lord, to what you have for them in this house. Hallelujah. We don't want to hold them back in any way, shape, or form. So, Lord, we just pray for them right now. And minister to them, Lord, even this morning. Just minister to them, Lord God, by you love them so much. So we thank you.
He's reminded me of the story of Jacob. And there has been a wrestling match. And you're coming forth as Israel, ready into the new name and new place and new thing. And your walk, you have given your walk to him. You have to hold on to him, and you say, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Your tenacity of the spirit and hunger after him has changed the way you walk. And he is naming you Israel. And there will be multitudes coming out of the loins of your heart.
Kimberly, the Lord would have you know that he sees you. He sees you, and he sees that you are a strong, well-watered oak, and that you have strength in your loins, that you are not moved, and that you are a steadying force in your home, and that he wants you to know that he blesses you.
Amen. Anybody else have a word?
And I'm also getting Joshua, and the Lord says, fear not. Fear not as you go into the promised land and those things that he has for you. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not discouraged, be not dismayed, for I am your God. So he just wants you to know, fear not. Just keep walking step by step, and I'll take you into that perfect plan that I have for you both. Thank you, Lord.
You know, they say that behind every good man is a good woman. So I see the two of you in unity. And so, Kimberly, your gifts are amazing. Because you walk with him as one. You two are one in the flesh. And your gifts will come forward. Because they come together in the two of you as one. Not independently. And that's how God sees it. And that's how he works. Yeah, we each have independent gifts. But when a couple come together, their gifts operate in the same alignment, although they're different. And so, Darren, I feel like God is saying to you, you're like James in the New Testament. You'll speak things when they're not that popular to say, but you speak truth. Because you search the word for truth. And that's where God's heart is in truth. And so I just want to encourage you in that. That as you continue to hunger in the Word, God, I'm not sure if Jan said it or Mary said, but there's people coming out of your loins. And they only come out of the truth of the Word of God. And it's the Word that sets people free. So thank you for declaring truth. Thank you.
so we usually I do announcements. and I missed one. But Darren and Kimberly have a real heart for the people of this church. And they have already been visiting some homes and been in, you know, if you're married and your husband doesn't come to church with you, it can be really hard. And they've been to homes where they've talked to husbands that don't come to church. And so they have a box that they have out in the lobby. And there's a card. You can put your name in there with a phone number. And they'll come and visit your home, or they'll go and visit somebody that you love, that you want visited. And it's because God's given them a heart for the people here. And so just make use of them, because this is a gift that God's given them. And they're having good results when they go. And they'd love to come to your house, too. So just so you're aware, that box is out in the lobby, and you can put... What'd you say?
I said he's invited.
He's invited. you're invited to go fill it out, whatever.
Also, God's saying, don't be afraid of being stretched, because he may take you into places you're not really necessarily going to like. But he says, don't be afraid of being stretched, because I'm one that's stretched out. I myself stretched out for all humanity. He said, don't be afraid of it. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to stretch you both. And I'm going to put you in uncomfortable places. But those uncomfortable places are for your benefit. So fear not.
Amen. Hallelujah. Stretch. I just want to add one more thing here, okay? Before we have you sit down or Darren stand up or whatever. Why don't we say one thing here, okay? This family is a family that loves, well, we love everybody, right? And so we want to be known for love in this house. Some people would even call us cliquey because we're together, so we're bound together in love, right? But I want to say, the Lord told me, he says, there's been some places, some circles that you went to, you were not well accepted. You were misunderstood, right? But that's all behind you now, because we know, we understand you and we love you and we welcome you into our congregation here. So God bless you as you stay. And bless us. Amen. Okay. God bless you. Let's give him a hug. Who's first?
Thank you. Thank you,
guys. Okay. I'm going to. Okay. Sunday schools is dismissed. Mary's going to be teaching them. Bless her heart. She's got many, many gifts, that lady. So bless you, Mary. Bless the children. Lord, let your anointing just flow in that room there, Lord God. Let different ideas flow, Lord, so that the little ones can understand and relate, right? And they'll never forget. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Darren, you have a few minutes here. You can.
Yeah, I'm going to be quick.
Okay. Here you are. It's all yours. Oh, okay. Oh, no.
It's
going to
be a little interactive service.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I know when I was in Montana, went to a friend's house and a count prophesied over me, and My friend said, pay no attention to that, because he was a little embarrassed what he said. Oh, well. Whoops. Well, we know the mic works, praise God. Anyhow, he said to me, your strength is your weakness. And I thought, that's a bunch of bunghooey. And I didn't give him the time of day, because my strength was my weakness. I was in business. I could do it all myself. And God has brought me to a place where I understand that his strength is my strength. And that's a good place to be. Anyhow, this morning I need three volunteers. So I'm going to call up Andy. I'm going to call up Michelle. And I was going to call up Jesse there. Now, you got to be able to drink just a little bit of pop. I know I'm not a fan of pop, but it's going to work for the illustration. Okay, it's an appointee. Yeah, I didn't give you an option. We got some fortune cookies. I know you're thinking, oh boy. Now, Michelle, you can have a sip of that. And I want you to tell me simply what it tastes like. You know, no one's shook that, knowing my boys. Okay, what's that taste like? Root beer. Is it sweet? Tastes very icky sweet to you? Okay, you're done. You can keep that, or you can leave it here and take it back, whatever. I don't want you to spill it. Okay. That's cool. Taste that Pepsi. Yeah, just open it up and taste it. This isn't a trick. No tricks here. Just. Tastes like Pepsi. Okay, is it sweet? Okay. You can take that with. Well, actually, we'll leave it here. We'll get them after, because I don't want you guys to spill them on the seat. Okay, you're done. Jesse, open that up and have a swig. Oh, no, don't shake it. Go slow now. Okay, we don't want to shake it. I went out of my way not to do that. Oh. Okay, you know what? You can open it in the kitchen if you want. Get it all over the carpet. Or leave it closed if you want, because it'll spill, so don't worry about it. You good now? Oh, okay. Okay. Have a swig. You don't have to drink it all. Okay. Once again, what did that taste like? Yeah, exactly. Okay, now you can take that to your seat if you want, because you guys can have those after. Take that one. Now, I'm going to have one too. Now, you notice mine's Diet Pepsi. Looks the same. Same container. Same color as that Pepsi. Same company. Could be the same thing. I'm going to taste it. Wow, taste. But now my sermon is called I'm Of. That's it. I'm Of. I'm Of. I'm I apostrophe M Of. Now I'm going to read a scripture, Psalms 119. Verse 103. Father, I thank you today that you use my voice. Speak your word, Lord. I give you all the praise and credit in advance. Spirit would take a hold of my thoughts and manifest what you want to be said. In Jesus' name. Verse 103. How sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, the reason I did that is we must actually go to the scripture again here before we go any further. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 and 21. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19 and 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood, of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, Paul there is comparing us with vessels, containers, just like this. Okay? I've got three scriptures, but I'm not going to go to all due time. Now, basically, what I did, these are different individuals in the church. Some are bigger, some are smaller, mid-size. Different individuals. We're containers, and it's what's in us that's important. Now, in the church, they were already having problems, and that's why I called the sermon, I'm Of. Because they got looking at the can. You know, my wife said, don't you dare say nice cans, but I'm going to say it. See these nice cans? They got looking at the cans. Oh, I'm of A&W. I like to look at that can. Oh, I'm of Pepsi. Oh, I'm of 7-Up. Oh, look at that guy. Matter of fact, I had one fellow. He was a graduate from Rhema. Can you imagine a fellow that's a graduate preacher from Rhema said to me, Darren, you can't preach, you're too fat. And I thought about it. But you know, when I was doing the sermon, that bottle that Jesse had there, I thought, man, I can carry more glory. Oh, I'm bigger. I can carry more. That's the way I look at it. Lord, I'll fill me up. I can take a little more of your glory, praise God. Okay. Now, Paul ran into this problem. Now, I'm just going to see where he dealt with it. Okay, let's follow my notes. I wrote this thought. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. Now, let's turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Now, what's his countenance? The can. How many times do we do that in church? Oh, I like that sister. Oh, she dresses sharp. You know? But look what God told him. Look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature. You know, that one bottle's a little bigger. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now that heart simply means sees your deep inner thoughts and your goings on in your heart, what you think about, what you dwell on. So, you know, it's funny, they picked Saul the first time because he was head and shoulders taller, and all they got was big trouble. Yet David was this little ruddy shepherd boy out in the sheepfold, the worshiper of God. Interesting. And what I, you know, the reason I did this is so many times we have a tendency to look at the outward appearance, the outward form. But thank God he looks at the heart. Okay, now my rather vague notes, they read the pop can ingredients. Very, very simple. Carbonated water, sugar, color. Now, this is the deception. All these cans were the same, but I'm going to play the devil's advocate because this bottle is called Belial. Belial was the advocate of the devil because it meant he was worthless, useless, of no value. But when I read the ingredients on this can, carbonated water, just like the other, color, just like the other, sugar. See, the word is sweet as honey. This is a phony word. This is a phony word. Tastes like honey. Bottle looks good on the outside. Now what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I only read one. I brought three. The Lord instruct me. He said, go get yourself a fortune cookie, read it, and say, thus saith the Lord. You see, because Baal still wants to look like he's speaking the word of God. Okay? Now, like I said, Lord, I'm going on a limb. Give me the right one. Because if somebody prophesied this just before me, we're in trouble. Praise God. So I'm working as the devil's advocate, Belial. But look, all through Israel, there was false prophets. And don't think today there's not. Because you know what? Gary hit it right on the head. Faith is the substance of hope, things hoped for, but it's the Word. Word. And when we have the Word, that's our safeguard. But when we start to stray away, we get into dangerous times. Well, pray. Oh, here we go. I said it's in French. I'm safe. Someone you know. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Gary, thus saith the Lord. Someone you know waiting for your praise. Could that be interpreted godly? Could kind of be. But see, what I'm saying is, this is just a fortune. Got it out of a fortune cookie. Someone you know is waiting for your praise, thus saith the Lord. But you see, what we have to do is when we know the word and don't just look at the outward vessel, we have a safeguard. We have a safety. We have a check valve. Okay. Now, I'm looking for the scripture. I'm not sure where it is. Maybe, oh, here it is. I'm of 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 6. You have a King James Study Bible, page 1390. Verses 1 to 6. Well, what was happening in the church of Corinth, there was bigwigs were starting to show up, and guys were starting to brag a little bit about who they were. And they even started to run Paul down later and say, well, he wasn't even getting paid to preach. Can you imagine that? He's useless. These guys were called super apostles. They figured they were real valuable. Well, Paul started to address this. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you, oh boy, as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. And carnal, if you look it up, it goes to, I believe, to me. Even as unto babes. Now, you know what babes, when I looked in the concordance, it means a person that's weak in faith, they have little understanding. You see? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Well, what's Paul saying here? You're not understanding the word of God. You're like little babies in Christ. Now, let's see why they're babies, and why they're weak, and why they're falling. I'm sure he's going to tell us. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife, divisions. Envying is jealousy. Strife is debate, contention, variance. Divisions. Are ye not yet carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, oh, I'm of Darren. Another saith, I'm of Mel. Another saith, I'm of Terry. I'm of Mary. I'm of Jan. What did Paul say? Watch this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But we're just simply ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. Apollos has watered. Folks, this is what we got to see. Remember this, we'll get safe. God gave the increase. God gave the increase. Right? And let's be serious. I've done this so many times in my life. Oh, how many of you have heard this statement? Oh, I got my favorite preacher. And I do. And I look at certain ministers, and I follow them through, because if they've been faithful for 50 years,
and have been a stickler for the word, I'll trust them over a new guy that's been around 2 weeks. Because I look at his track record, and I go to the Bible and say, well, I don't know if that's true. Oh, it's true. But if Terry keeps telling me a truth, and I keep going to Terry, and for 700 times he tells me the truth, I'm more apt to trust Terry than someone off the street that I never met before. But you see, I judge according to the facts. Does this guy believe in the Word of God? And church, we have to be careful there, because so many times we do the same thing today. Oh, I like so-and-so. No, God gives the increase. And always remember that. Don't look at the vessel. Listen to the contents. Is it sweeter than honey? Or is it a little different? Something's not quite right. You know how sometimes in your spirit, if any of you got that where it seemed good, but you had to check. Something's not quite right there. Something's sitting sideways. Well, that's probably the Holy Ghost telling you, go double check that. You might find there's an error coming in. Okay? Okay. Question. How can we safeguard ourselves from error? That's a good question. Psalms 119, verse 9 to 16. Give us some. Psalms 119, 9 to 6. Okay. Psalms 119 is a chapter, by the way. Okay. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to. Oh, there it is again, that pesky little four-letter word, thy word. So it's going to cleanse your way. Oh, I made a mistake. That's all right. But I found it in the Word. Oh, thank you, Jesus. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. What's that? Word. Word. The word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Well, that's God. See, here's our problem, folks. Worry about people too much. Well, I'm telling you, the more I study my Bible, I'm getting not just a head knowledge, but a real fear of the living God. When he comes and looks upon Darren, he scares me. Because I think this is the Most High looking on me. I don't want to disappoint him. I want to hide his word in my heart so I wouldn't sin against him. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Well, what's that mean? Be your word. There's about the fourth time. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. Woo! What's God's judgments? His word again. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as in all riches. So that word sounds like David thought it was richness. Because his testimony, that was God's testimony. In the beginning, God said that was God's testimony. See? I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, I will not forget thy word. Okay, how do we keep from error? Well, I tell you, go to the person that's error-free. God's never failed. Doesn't the scripture say when God was talking, he said, instructed me. You're going to build, even with King David, he said, you're going to build a house for me. What do I need a house for? You're getting the elements out of the earth that I put in the earth for nothing because I did it. You see? And we got to remember that because sometimes we get a little too commonplace when we start. Matter of fact, when I write in my Bible now, I don't write G-O-D. I write G-D. Out of reverence, I'm writing about the King. the master of the universe, the creator of all things. And I forcibly in my mind tell myself, he is holy. He made me holy, I understand that, but he made me holy, lest I forget. The Word became flesh for me, lest I forget. The Word became flesh. That's another sermon right there, if we ever get a hold of that statement. The Word wasn't flesh before. And the Lord said to me, what are you, son? You've got a lot of flesh. Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We're flesh. Oh, boy, when we get a hold of that one, church. Oh, yeah, well, we won't go there because I could just get excited right now. Anyhow, now we're going to turn to another place. I wrote a note here. The reason David was so great, even though he made mistakes, is his love for God was fierce. And what I mean by fierce, he got upset when you run his guard down. You know, I like the story of David and Goliath because it shows David's heart. You know, he didn't look at his size. He didn't look at the spear. What he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God, my God? And I thought, there's a guy that loved his God. There's a guy that said, no. You know, matter of fact, I'll tell you a little story. I don't know if you watch boxing, but there's Gypsy King. What's his name? I forget his name. But anyhow, he's a heavyweight boxer. He's very loud-mouthed. But he's a Christian, and he talks about Jesus all the time. Now, I'm not saying he lives right, but he does love God. Well, he faced another fellow that was the current heavyweight champion. And this guy said, oh, I have the gods of my ancestors. I'm going to beat you. And this Gypsy King said, or he said to this Gypsy King, I'm going to beat your God. And I laughed. His eyes got big. He said, you're in trouble, son. You're in trouble, son. You just challenge my God and my Jesus. He's going to wipe you out. And you just see the change come over him in the interview. And the funny thing was, in that fight, this bronze bomber knocked this Gypsy King down. Like he had a right hook that would lay a guy out, and he did. And he got up. And this guy's just shaking his head like, nobody's got up from that before. And then this Gypsy King ended up whipping him. And then he said, I want a rematch. He whipped him worse in his rematch. And I found it funny because he hit him so hard in the ear he had no hearing left. And I thought, well, careful what you say. You know, but I laughed because there was a change in him when he said, oh, you're messing with my God. And I, you know, not that I'm not saying God did that. I just thought it was a, you could see a heart that he says, no. I'm not interested. And I laugh because I think he said your ancestors are nothing but demons. I mean, it was so funny. You know, anyhow, how did I get off on that? I don't know. Okay, we're going to read another one. David's love for God was fierce, all-consuming. Now let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9 and 10. This is a scripture I don't like to read. Because it scares me a little. Second Thessalonians 2. Now, it's not talking about us in the church, but I like the context of what it is saying. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, could it be this guy, Belial, with false prophecy? Wonder. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now watch. It's always stuck in my heart. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong... Oh, no. God? Did I read that wrong? Is that up there? Someone read that for me. Does that say God? Must be wrong. Must be a misprint. Oh, God will send them a strong delusion that they believe I. And the Lord said something to me, and it touched my heart. He said, you know, David was one of the, well, I'll say I think he was the greatest king in all Israel. Because we talk about his son, but really David left mountains of silver and gold for his son to use. That was all pre-purchased. David was a conqueror. And all his life, God said, I like that dude. Because he's going to keep my word. He's going to keep my word. But yet, you know, David fell, saw Bathsheba up on the roof in her hot tub. He fell. Horrible sin. My Lord, think of it. I mean, that was one of his mighty men of valor. He put him out in the front line and had him killed. But yet God said, David's a man after my own heart. And I thought, yeah, but God, and he paid for that. Don't, you know, if you read the scriptures now, David, because of this, you're going to have problems in your house. And he has, he did. But still, God said that about him at the end of his life. But here's the key. Even when Nathan came to David, he said, oh, I've sinned. Repented immediately because he hid God's word in his heart. And you know, so many times Satan will tell us, oh, you're going to be sent a spirit of delusion because you made a mistake. No, not what it says. Here's what it says. Here's what it says. Because they did not love truth. Now, I love God, and I'll tell you right now, I've made many. I told people the wrong thing at the wrong time, even for the wrong reason, but I thought I was right. Matter of fact, I had an argument with my wife one day, and I was so mad, I said, "By bless God, I'll die if I'm wrong." Then about 2 hours later, I'm reading the scripture. God says, wrong. I thought, oh, God, thank you for your grace. You know, I mean, I made a pact, a covenant, I'll die if I'm wrong. And I thought, there goes, you know, I'm dead. But thank God. See, my heart was right. I was trying to defend God. And after all, what does my wife know? Bless God, I study the word. She can't be right. Well, she was. Because I misinterpreted a scripture. But you see, that's the danger. But my heart was right because I was seeking the truth. And this is where Satan's a liar. Oh, you made a mistake. Now God's good. No. God sees our heart. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? Because he sees the inner heart of man. So he sees something we don't and says, I know he's dumb. He loves me. And I'll tell you, I'd rather be a love dummy than a smart know-it-all. I'll tell you that. Because when you look in the Bible, even Paul said, not many smart among you, not many anointed, not many rich, but God. Okay, now we're going to go on. No time. Are we there already, Jim? Are you waving the flag? Okay. So they were deceived because they did not love the truth. Now, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus a very big question. And if you think about it, when he was talking to Jesus, he said, what is truth? That's a big question. You know, sometimes I wonder if we could have a debate with the politicians. Well, get some interesting answers. Okay, John 17:6. I'm going to tell you what truth is real quick. John 17:6. Now this is Jesus' prayer. And he said, I have manifest thy name unto these men, Lord, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they kept thy word. Now we're going to go to John 17:17-18. Sanctify them through thy truth. Now this is Jesus talking again. Talking to the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How are we set apart? How are we holy? How are we righteous? The Bible says so. And if we see it in the Bible, bless God, it's done. Yours. But you see, when Pilate asked that, here's what he thought. Jesus, the truth is, I have the power to crucify you, set you free. Rome is true. Because Rome, they with the power are in charge that hour. Right? America's in charge as long as they got more nukes than China. But if America disarms all their nukes, we're in trouble. Because in our world, the most power is in charge. And Pilate knew that. What is truth? Because he knew he was innocent. But the truth was, he said, I have power over you. And, oh, I love Jesus. He said, no, you don't. I'm laying my life down. You may think you do, but you're actually being used to me right now, and you don't even know it. You see, the truth is, God said, I'm sending the Son to die. And here he is standing before Pilate. And isn't it interesting that Pilate didn't want to crucify him, and yet he was crucifying him, and he's asking what truth is. Well, the Word of God is truth. God said, I'm going to send a Savior, and he's going to take your sin, die for you. And here Pilate is saying, no, I can crucify you, but really the truth is God set Pilate there, set the story up with the Pharisees, and said, Pilate, if you release this guy, we're going to call Caesar, and you're going to be in trouble. So he was under pressure, and he had to save his own neck. So the truth is, if God said it, it's so. Okay, closing remarks, so we're done, not quick. This is a miracle in itself. The more I study the Bible, this is just a thought that came to me. The more I study the Bible, both Old and New Testament, in context, the more I am able to discern truth and error. Okay? People have said to me, oh God, Darren, why don't God use me? Well, it's simple. You don't know His Word. Because God and His Word are one. So many times, how can God use you if you don't understand His Word? How can He? He'll give you. See, the more I put in me, God will bring the Word back into remembrance to me. And just like these cans, you could say it in a different way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Well, you could say that different way. I could say, being fully persuaded comes by hearing and understanding the Word of God. But see, being fully persuaded means you have faith. You can say it a little different, but if you don't put this in your heart, how can God speak through you? And one other thing I have to say this, because this was really quickened to me. I won't turn to it, but it's in 1 Kings 22. Now, we know the story of Elijah. He goes and, it's a beautiful story. And he's a symbol of God. Elijah, God of Jehovah, God of power. That's his name. Elisha is the symbol of Jesus. And if you see that and you read it in the Bible, it'll scare you. It's so accurate. He shows everything about the church in those stories. It's one day, if I ever get a chance, that'd be great for Bible study sometime. It'll blow you away when you see it in the proper understanding. Well, anyhow, John came in the spirit of Elijah. Spirit of God. And what was his message? To turn the hearts of the father to the children. Okay? And the children to the father. Well, that was not Jesus. That was God. But I'm going to have my kids back. Adam, you might have fell. I'm going to get my kids back. Now, we know the story. The 450 prophets of Baal come. You know what happened. Then what I find funny, and this is what I'm alluding to, little later on, King Ahab thought, okay, all my prophets are dead. Nobody's volunteering anymore to be a prophet of Baal on pay. So he got a problem. So he got another 400, now watch, prophets of God. False prophets. Ooh! 400?
Yeah.
400. He got them. I don't know where they came from. Probably the same guys that were of Baal, but they said, hey, we'll be prophets of God if we get profit, if you pay us to say what you want. But you see, he rebranded them because Elijah was still alive. And all the prophets said, all they had to do was go by that area where the 450 were killed, and they still seen the ashes and or nothing, just a hole where God burned everything up. And said, nah. Sorry, Terry. I know you pay well. Not that well. Yeah, okay. Now watch. This is what I found interesting. And I'm going to use it as an illustration that's happening today in our midst. When I say in our midst, in our time, in our age. So he gets these new prophets, 400 of them, and they're going to go to war. And Ahab calls up, I think it's Jehoshaphat, and says, now, Jehoshaphat, you're the king of Judah. I'm the king of Israel. Moab, I think it is, I can't remember, is coming against me. Will you come and join forces? Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. They get there, and Jehoshaphat, who's in charge of Judah, is a godly man. So he's looking for a real prophet, not on staff, on the payroll. I want to hear from God. And Ahab says, oh, hey, look, here's my 400 guys. Let's see what they got to say. Well, you know what's funny? All 400 were drinking Diet Pepsi. Oh, you're going to win, boys. God's giving you battle. And one guy got a set of metal horns, throws them on his head, banging into the wall. You're going to push him back like this metal horse. You're going to destroy them all. So Jehoshaphat says, yeah, sounds good. Isn't there anyone else we can get? Well, it seems like they're all two in unity here. Something's wrong when you got 400 in unity on pay. Yeah, I know a guy. So Ahab says, I know a guy, Elisha. I know this guy, but I don't want to call him. He never prophesies anything good about me. So Jehoshaphat said, well, if you're going to get me in the battle, you better call him, because I want to hear what the one has to say, because I heard 400. So here comes Elisha. And he said, I wouldn't even be here if it was for you, Ahab, because I got no respect for you. But Jehoshaphat called me from Judah, so I'm going to speak to him. Now here's what's funny, folks. On the way, the guy with the horns goes and gets Elisha, and he says, now listen, Elijah. I'll prophesy. Get there. You can be drinking Diet Pepsi. We're all drinking Diet Pepsi. Just so you know, we all said they're going to win. Just remember that. When you prophesy, we're going to win. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll do what God says. Didn't argue. I'll do what God says. Yeah, all right. So he gets there, says, I win. And Ahab looks at him. Quit lying to me. You've never said anything good. He said, okay. I doubt you're going to make it back home. You're going to be dead on the field. Tell Israel to go home because you're going to be scattered everywhere and destroyed. So, of course, the guy with the horns walks up and slaps him in the face. He said, if I'm wrong, you'll come back. Chances are you ain't coming home. Well, so Ahab figured, well, I'm going to get this guy, told his leader, put him in our jail till I get back and give him bread of affliction and water. Well, Elisha went with them, and they go to battle. And now you see, here's the works of men. And I love when phony prophets, they're always trying to figure it out. They're not going to outsmart God. So the king Ahab says, listen, Jehoshaphat, I know I got my kingly robe. You got your kingly robe. Why don't you wear my kingly robe? I'm going to go looking like a pauper. Now, if I'm Jehoshaphat, I'm thinking, I ain't doing that. Now, you know, he wasn't too smart, I thought. But, you know, he was an honorable guy. I said, yeah, I'll wear the kingly robes out there in my chariot. So they start chasing Jehoshaphat. And he yells, I ain't Ahab. I don't want to die. So the whole army turns around and says, well, we got to find Ahab. And some guy shoots a stray arrow. Gets him right between the armor. Stray arrow. Little servant guy riding on that chariot. And here it's the king Ahab. He dies, and of course the story says, because the prophet said earlier, Ahab, the dogs will lick up your blood because you're so evil. And you know, it's funny, because when he got shot through, his blood leaked on the chariot. So they did give him a burial, but as they washed the chariot out, it said the dogs licked up the bloody water of the chariot. So God's word came to pass perfectly. So, you know, in our day, and I looked the other day, because I try to stay off the internet, because I like to study the Bible, but I will look at some stuff. Well, the other day I was shocked because I seen a charismatic ministry, and I won't mention their name even. I won't do that. But they were getting so far out there that, like, here's what they would do, stuff like this. Oh, I'm seeing the number 764 everywhere. It must be godly. Oh, the Bible says that's an omen. Demonic. But there, I mean, I was reading the comments. This is a charismatic believing prophetic believer, and hundreds of comments. Oh yeah, I'm seeing the number 222, 178. Well, yes, numbers mean something in the Bible, in Hebrew, in the language, but when you start looking to numbers in that context, you're looking at for an omen or a sign. You see? And you know how I found that out? God didn't tell me. Well, he did. I read the Old Testament where they did it all the time. It's called divination. They looked at numbers. They looked at patterns of birds. You see? And I've done it, and I told Pastor Mel, can I share that, Mel? I'm going to do it. Bless God. Kick me out later. Because I've done this, and Mel's done it. And I was ignorant. Because, see, here's how deception works. Satan always takes a partial truth and adds a little extra. Adds a little extra. And that's the danger. So we're going to watch in the scripture what happened. God told John the Baptist, the one that you see the Spirit descending upon like a dove will be my son. Now, he didn't say you'd see a physical dove. He didn't say everyone else would see the dove. He told John, the one that you see in the Spirit, they're going to see a spiritual entity come down looking like a dove. Well, simply what God wanted us to understand is if you look up dove in the concordance, it's their warmth in mating. God wanted us to see that him and Jesus were one. This is my beloved son. And if you look cross-reference dove, it goes to being intoxicated. Intoxicated in love. You think, oh, you know, don't you offend Jesus, you're going to offend God. That's what he was showing. Well, I've done it where I've been praying, and two doves would fly down by me. Oh, praise God. The doves. But you see, if you go too far down that line, you see, next thing there will be crows. Or you see, I don't need a dove to land on my windowsill and coo. God said he inhabits my praises in here. Okay? But see how Satan can work that? Because God used a dove in the Spirit for one man as a reference to see something, he'll try to get us off the word by, oh, you saw that. So what happens when I'm praising God and no dove show up? Oh, I guess God didn't believe. He didn't inhabit my praises today. You see? And church, it sounds funny, but this is how the enemy works. He doesn't come with huge error. Looks the same, tastes the same, same container, same color. Matter of fact, might be better, 0 calories. But it gained no weight. Oh, the Lord maketh fat. I'm going to take the spiritual calories. See, in the spiritual realm, I don't want Diet Pepsi. In the spiritual realm, I thought, oh, blessing of God. And you see, we have to be careful because God, you know, I heard Mary this morning. I heard the vessel, but I heard the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what I believe in my heart. God is causing us to see again, understand his word. Because in his word is his power. In the small, still voice, the fire, the earthquake came. See, we're looking for the fire and the earthquake, but if we'd hear the voice, that's where the works would come from, the small still. Okay. Anyhow, that's it. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you. We worship you. And Father, as a people, we desire the truth. We love the truth. And we seek the truth. And Lord, even though we've made mistakes, I thank you that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, is there for correction and reproof to teach us and to lead us. So we humble ourselves. Thank you that you do lead us and teach us to walk in your way, that you would manifest yourself through us, and that we would see and have the privilege to walk in the greatest move of God ever on this earth. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise. It's not the vessel, it's the ingredients, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, thanks for your